understanding, what passes human understanding, shall keep or shall garrison, shall guard, shall garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I would say personally that I need garrisoning of the mind these days. And having your mind garrisoned by Almighty God through the Word of God and faith and truth, that's where to be. That's where to be. And so we can't be so arrogant in thinking that we can't be affected or fall to such things in the world. And so let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and that your mind might be garrisoned by the Almighty, and that's through study of the Word, having our minds in the Word. Well, our small subject this morning is going to be the title, Our Kinsman Redeemer. Oh, our kinsman redeemer, really. Do we have a kinsman redeemer? Let's turn to Ephesians 1, 7 through 14. All right, and I'm going to just say a few things this morning about the subject of our kinsman redeemer. When we read Ephesians 1, 7 through 14, we read, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and discretion or prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, incredible, according to the good his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in the heavens and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that heard the word of truth, good message of your salvation, in whom also after that, pardon me, ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession in unto the praise of his glory. Well, there is a lot of knowledge that we just read over, a lot of studies, a lot to go into there. For one, and I think I'm going to possibly get to that in coming weeks, do we have an inheritance, or are we made an inheritance of the Father? Did you know that 50% of the translations out there say one or the other? Rotherham said, we are made a possession of the Father, an inheritance. We are his inheritance. We are his heritage. Another English version might say, we have an inheritance. Well, is there a difference? Is there an importance to the difference? Yeah, there is a difference. Yeah, there is an importance to the difference. I think being made an inheritance by Almighty God is a lot more powerful than having an inheritance. There's a lot more love there. There's a lot more unity, I believe, in being made an inheritance of Almighty God. And so, also, too, we have redemption here. We have redemption here. We have the sealing of the Holy Spirit here, which we have a purchased possession here. And, you know, in type, it's a possibility that we see all of those subjects in the subject of our kinsman redeemer. And you could sit back and say, what is he talking about? But let's just pursue this a little bit. We find, as members of the body of Christ in his fullness, the facts of redemption, of being an inheritance, that having all of our sins forgiven once and forever, every sin, and that the redemption of us as a purchased possession is being talked about here. It's been said in our circles that Christ Jesus our Lord is our kinsman redeemer. Is this true? What does it mean? We know that one of the greatest books in the scriptures concerning the subject of being the kinsman redeemer is, of course, the book of Ruth, right? And so what we're going to do is briefly is we're going to delve into the subject of the kinsman redeemer, what he was, what he did, and what it took to be a kinsman redeemer, and then wondering if that in fact was a type of Christ, which in fact it was. And then so what? I could say, is Christ our kinsman redeemer? Yes, for many reasons. Oh yeah? Well, why? Why is that? And so, I guess just hear me out. You know, all you can do is either hear me out or take off if you like, I suppose. But, I thought that there is some truth here. So what is a kinsman redeemer? And is our Lord our kinsman redeemer? And what's that all about? A kinsman redeemer, according to the scriptures, is a male relative who has the responsibility, listen to this, to help a relative who is in danger or who is in need. This man also avenges wrongdoing. He rescues those of his kin, and he redeems property for his relatives. He is also responsible for carrying on the seed line of his family. He is someone who redeems that which is lost. Those are some of my notes. Again, this might be a short story. In the days of Ruth, which were about, it was in the time of Judges, we're not going to read the book of Ruth. My wife and I read the book of Ruth this morning, four chapters. And so it's easy reading, and it doesn't take a very long time, but there's powerful truth in there. The days that Ruth grew up in, 1300 B.C. or so, the years of the judges, not many things could be worse in those days than being a widow with no sons. This meant that this widow would lose her income, she would lose all of her support, she would lose her possessions, and ultimately, she would lose all of her property. Think about it. It meant that this widow was in desperation and destitution. And so when we read the book of Ruth, we find that they leave to go to Moab because of the famine in Israel. And Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law, right? Daughters-in-law, mother-in-law, right. Ruth marries one of Naomi's sons. Naomi's husband dies. Two of Naomi's sons, the seed line, marry Moabite women, Ruth and I forgot the other one, I'm sorry. And eventually their husbands die. And so you have these three women, two Moabite women, and one woman from Israel, their mother-in-law, who are alone in a foreign land of the Moabites. And so she's in trouble. The book of Ruth teaches us, regardless of our lot in life, that we can live according to the precepts of God, and we can walk worthy of it. And so, what the book of Ruth is about is about Ruth choosing the Lord and walking worthy of the Lord by choice at all cost. That's what happened. It instructs us that genuine love of God may require uncompromising sacrifice, and that God blesses obedient lives. That's what's coming out of the book of Ruth. We find that Naomi's daughter-in-law's one goes back to her family, I would imagine on her side, and Ruth, the Moabite woman, cleaves to Naomi and says, I will serve your God. And that's it. She makes a decision to serve the God of Naomi, and she goes back to Jerusalem with Naomi. Takes place during the time of the judges. Those times were days of failure and rebellion in Israel. A famine in Israel forces Elimelech, that's the husband of Naomi, and his wife from their home in Israel to the heathen country of Moab. And Moab was located northeast of the Dead Sea. Elimelech dies, and Naomi is left with her two sons, who eventually marry two Moabite girls, Orpha, that's the other one, and Ruth. Later, the sons both die, and Naomi is left with her daughters-in-law, Orpha and Ruth, in a strange land. Orpha returns to her parents, but Ruth is determined to stay with Naomi, and as they journey to Bethlehem, Ruth eventually marries Boaz, a wealthy man, and her kinsman redeemer. Ruth bears a son by Boaz, whose name is Obed. Get what happens here because of the faith of Ruth. She marries a wealthy man of Israel named Boaz, who happens to be a kinsman of Elimelech, the husband of Naomi. He marries Ruth. She has a son named Obed, who is a grandfather of King David, and who eventually is in the lineage of Christ Jesus our Lord. And through the obedience of Ruth, she is entered, has entered into the privilege lineage of Christ Jesus our Lord, the true kinsman redeemer. And so that's a few facts about what's happening there. Okay, so is the Lord Jesus Christ our kinsman redeemer? Well, yes, he is. How can that be seen in the book of Ruth? Well, I have a little bit of statements to make and a few scriptures to read. And, you know, that's going to be the study today. But not because I'm saying it, but just because it is beautiful truth. I mean, it is the Lord Christ Jesus and his work is absolutely beautiful. The knowledge of God is a beautiful thing. It's tremendous. What we have is a tremendous thing. What we've been blessed with the Word of God, I can't say it enough, is that we are so blessed. We don't even know how much we're blessed. We just don't. I'm gonna say that. What are the requirements of a kinsman redeemer? Okay, so we had Naomi, who lost everything. We have her daughter-in-law, Ruth, that they were desolate in a foreign land. They were in trouble. They had nothing at all. No kinsmen there among foreigners. So Boaz, they meet Boaz, and he becomes their kinsman redeemer. And then the Lord works through him, and through Ruth comes the bloodline of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. What a beautiful, awesome piece of truth. In order to be a kinsman redeemer, you had to be kin. So now we're going to get into the Lord Jesus Christ. You had to be of the same family. You had to be in a relational tie. You had to be of the same kind. Does this make you think of anything about the Lord Jesus Christ? This required of the Lord Jesus Christ, the infinite God, to take on finite human flesh to become a kinsman redeemer. Let's turn to John 1. A lot of these scriptures you know and you've read before. But as we go on with this study, there's a reason why, especially in Ephesians 1 when we talked about being an inheritance and that we are a purchased possession and that we're sealed. These things all work together, and hopefully I can, you know, bring those out in relation to Christ being our kinsman redeemer. That's the whole point of all this. John 1, 6 through 14. John 1, 6 through 14. You know this. But you had to be kin. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ had to be our kin. There was a man sent from John from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. That should be studied out. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. There is no words to describe the thought of that. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Could be talking about Israel. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become, it's possible, the children of God. The sons of God, it states. I'd have to look that up. It's the children of God. That's important. It's not huiotheseon, it's technon, so it's children. That's important. So it's not the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Yep, the infinite God took on our form to be our kinsman redeemer. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He became our kinsman. Awesome. Let's turn to Hebrews 2, 10 through 18. Again, you might know these scriptures, but, you know, maybe not exactly in the light of a kinsman redeemer. Hebrews 2, 10 through 18. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. I mean, he was the Son of God that walked the planet. He did more miracles than could fill any books of the world. And he was the creator of all things. And so I think that when we sit back and think about these things, what are the words? What a creator. What a savior. What a God. What a son of God. What a father. What a trinity. What a God we serve. You know, would we do this? Would we do this for lost people? Would we do the same thing as the Son of God did for lost human beings? For it became him, I'm going to read 10 over, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became our kinsman. He became our kind to redeem us. He also likewise, verse 14, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We are not afraid to step out of this place. Moreover, we look for it. Do you know how at the opposite end of the pole that is for people that are living in the world think? They're afraid to die for the most part. If not, they're fooling themselves. Verse 16, for truthfully he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He took on the seed of the flesh. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. It behooved him to be made like us, that he might be merciful and faithful, a high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, to soothe them that are tempted. What a Savior we have. In order to be a kinsman redeemer, you have to be willing. And in paraphrase, if you look back at the book of Ruth, you'll find that there was a kinsman before Boaz who was next in line as the kinsman of Naomi, but said he couldn't do it. I believe the story is that he couldn't afford it. And he wouldn't have because it would have been negative to his existing family, if I read that right. And so therefore, the one that was in line wasn't willing, but Boaz was willing. In order to be a kinsman redeemer, you could not be forced to do it. You had to be of a willing heart. Turn to John 10. 7-18. A willing heart. Almighty God became flesh because it behooved him. He did not have to do a thing. Matter of fact, you know, we spoke a time ago about the flood of Noah, and that we were almost goners as a race. Really close. 8 people out of an estimated 2.5 billion. We were pretty close to being out of here, folks. But the Lord had mercy upon our race, and therefore we have abundance in our families and blessings and children and parents and grandparents. You know, that could have been over 4,300 years ago. John 10, 7-18. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Of course, this is a calling out of John, which is to the new earth, I believe. But nevertheless, I think that in a sense we were given by the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Father, don't you? We were predestinated. We were given a calling. We were chosen before the overthrow of the world. We were given to the work of the kinsman redeemer, don't you think? Therefore does my Father love me. Oh, verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice and shall be of one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. A kinsman redeemer must be willing and not forced to be the redeemer. Let's turn to Philippians 2. You've read this before too, but all part of the study. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, who being God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself. He chose, I'll interject, to make himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and women, of flesh. And being found in the fashion of a human, of a man and a woman, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I know he became as a man, don't take my words and run with them. But he came as a man, but he came to redeem mankind for sure. And so he came as a man to redeem mankind. So he was a willing kinsman redeemer. And he was our kin. He became our kin. In order to be a kinsman redeemer, you had to be able to completely follow through with redemption. We saw in an example in Ruth that the one who was in line was not able. He didn't find himself able, and so he ran from being a kinsman redeemer. Turn to John 1, 1 through 5. We know these verses, but was the Son of God able to be a kinsman redeemer? So far, we saw that he became our kin, and we saw that he was willing. And now in John 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word, and he was God. Is he able? Well, that's a done deal. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness overtook it not. Was he able? He was far more able to be a kinsman redeemer than anyone we can possibly know. read Romans 5 through 10. Basic study, nice and easy, beautiful truth. Romans 5 through 10. Yep. This New Testament, it's all disarranged. It's not arranged correctly. It's all over the 5 through 10. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, sounds like Ruth, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And so here we have the Son of God becoming our kin, being willing, and he's going to dare to die for sinners, let alone good people. But God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Was he able? No question about it. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 12. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 12. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, sounds like Boaz, for your sakes he became poor, or he redeemed you through his poverty, that through his poverty we all might be made rich. Well, how rich is Almighty God? How rich is the Creator? How rich is the Father? How rich is the Triune God? How rich are we made in him? Were we poor? We were lost. We were in trouble, just like Ruth was. And is God rich and able? Oh, man. We're richer than beyond our wildest dreams. We are the richest human beings on the planet. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. Am I overreading this? No. Who have begun before, verse 10, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he is not. And so not only do we see a willing mind in God, the Son of God, to redeem us, we see willing minds in the book of Corinthians to accept redemption no matter what their state, and that this willing mind is going to be revered by Almighty God, I think is the point here. The last thing, or at least one more thing you had to do as a kinsman redeemer, is you had to pay the price in full. You had to be a kin. You had to be willing. You had to be able. And you had to pay the price in full. Let's turn to Romans 6. I have three more scriptures to read, and then we can wrap this up. The kinsman redeemer. Is the Lord Christ Jesus our kinsman redeemer? Romans 6, 3 through 11. And it reads, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did he pay the price in full?" Absolutely. Did our Lord pay the price in full? Yes, he performed a sacrifice in his body which we could never come close to performing to satisfy a holy God. Hebrews 7, 22 through 28. Beautiful scriptures. I'll be ending in Colossians, by the way. Hebrews 7, 22 through 28. I love Hebrews. "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He fulfilled the perfect spiritual law of God, who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer sacrifice first for his own sin, then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. He was able, and he paid the full price." Colossians 1, 14 through 22, which will be our ending for today. The kinsman redeemer, for sure, at least in type, folks, he is our definite kinsman redeemer because of all of these truths of what a kinsman redeemer is. A beautiful section of truth, I believe. Colossians 1, 14 through 21, 22. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. For by him were all things created, that are in the heavens and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And by the way, we are chosen above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, every name that is named, except for his, every created being in the Son at the right hand of the Father." There is no human explanation for that. "And he is before all things," verse 17, "and by him all things cohere or are cemented together. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross," we have peace with God, by the way, "by him," I say, "whether they be things in earth or things in the heavens, and you, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. And I hope that was edifying to you. I always hope it brings glory to our God. And you guys are great. You're the best people on earth. And I thank you. It's an honor and privilege to even speak these things, know these things, talk to people as such as you. And so, hey, have a restful Labor Day. I was thinking, what am I going to do tomorrow? Well, then I was thinking about laboring in the yard, and I thought, what the heck are you, what are you doing? You know, you're supposed to be not laboring. But, you know, I hope that all of you have peace. Pray again. That sticks in mind what Pop said about those guys in that car accident. We'd like to know, hey, you're welcome. We'd like to know how they're doing. Was that relatives of you, Ron? Is that who they were? I'm just a nobody, and I really am. I'm just a nobody. If you knew my past, I come from nowhere. And so I'm thankful to know you all. Okay, yeah. Love all you folks.